Welcome to Managing Uncertainty, a podcast series from the experts at BrightPath discussing global risk, business continuity, and crisis management. Will you be ready to lead your organization through its critical moment?
Hello and welcome to the Managing Uncertainty podcast. It's Brian Strauser, Principal and Chief Executive here at BrightPath.
This is Barry Wheeler, Consultant here at BrightPath.
And I want to start off today with a story that was relatively pivotal in my thought process, in my career. And so we have to go back to about 2009.
Way back.
More than a decade ago when this happened. The story was this. I was brand new in a position at a Fortune 30 organization as the head of global crisis management and business continuity. These two teams had never been under the same leader. They, in fact, a year prior had been in completely different parts of the organization, and now they're consolidated under the global security team under one leader. I've got new managers leading the teams, and we had a relatively good crisis management process that I inherited that Bray was a part of. But I had this business continuity function under brand new leadership under me that really wasn't very visible in the organization, but the company was willing to invest in. And my new boss goes, Brian, I think the best place for you to start is to bring in a consultant and have them look at the business continuity program here and tell us what we need to do. And I looked at him and I'm like, did you not just promote me into this job from my old job to do exactly that? And he goes, fair point. Tell me who on the executive team or the board in your first week on the job, having never worked in any detail level in this field, is going to listen to you on your evaluation of a program you've just been appointed to lead and tell them with credibility that you're going to be able to move this forward. How's that going to work? I'm like, I don't know. I'll figure it out. He's like, no, you will go hire a consultant. And I walked out of the meeting and I was kind of pissed off.
Right.
I'm like,
yeah,
you put me in this role. This is what I'm supposed to do. And so I go talk to my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, and I tell her about this conversation. And she looks at me and she goes, she's like, I consulted for 10 years at ENY. You hire these people to come in and tell them what you already know, right? You're going to bring them in. And they're going to look at the whole thing. They're going to use some methodology, and they're going to look at the whole thing, and they're going to tell you some things to work on. You're going to embrace all that, and you're going to have them present, and you're just going to ride those coattails, and you're going to get all the money and all the resources and all the stuff that you need. And man, I was just flabbergasted. But that's exactly what I did. I hired one of the big four firms. They came in and did an evaluation. They interviewed a bunch of people. They laid in their experience. They said, "Here's your strengths. Here's the opportunities. Here's the things you need to do. Here's the roadmap." And we took it to the executive team and the board, and I got everything I ever wanted. And I was just totally amazed by that.
It worked.
They did great work. I don't want to disparage that. Right. That's not what this conversation is about at all. But this conversation, what we want to talk about on the podcast today, is when do you bring in a consultant? And I don't mean bring somebody in for staff augmentation to help you do something.
Right. Or to just, hey, here's my plan, just read it back to them. You know, there's more to,
right,
to that.
So I want to talk about when you bring in a consultant, and I would love, you know, just as you listen to this episode or read the transcript online, I would love to hear from you about when this has worked for you. Like, how have you been able to leverage this as the topic that we're kind of talking about? When do you bring somebody in to help you like this? Help you solve a problem, help you build a strategy, help you benchmark what's going on. Not somebody to just fill a hole on the team because you can't hire somebody.
Or to just assess what you've already been doing.
I mean, one thing that we do a lot, we're in the middle of doing this now for a client, is we spend a number of engagements where we're brought in to look at what a company has and tell them, here's where your strengths and opportunities are. Here's our recommendations to improve. We're doing this right now for a client where we've evaluated the state of their program three times every 2 years. We've done this to really help them understand where they're maturing and where they're not, where their opportunities lie. But I think a lot of the times we're brought in as our first foot in the door to help a company understand where they're at and what they need to do, because they don't know. They don't have the internal leadership to be able to pull that off.
Or expertise yet.
Yeah, I said leadership, but that's what I meant. They don't have the leadership and expertise to be able to do that yet.
Yeah.
They need that kind of guidance. You know, we've done this. The story that I think comes to mind is we've a client here in the Twin Cities that we did this for them in late 2015, where there's things they did really well from a crisis perspective, but they realized they didn't really have a business continuity program. And some things had come to their attention that they did need to have such a program. And that was our work, that we came in and evaluated the state of affairs. We interviewed the executives. We interviewed stakeholders. We looked over tons of documentation. And we helped them understand what they had and what they didn't, and where the points of confusion or opportunity were. And then here's a number of recommendations for you to look at in terms of implementing. And not only that, but here's where you stand in relation to other companies in your industry.
Yeah.
To our knowledge, huge. About where you're at. And I think the fair discussion about, do you really want to be at the very top of this list, or is it okay to be in the top third, or in the middle? Like, what's the right investment based upon your business model, your risks and threats?
We've been thinking just from like a maturity standpoint, where is an acceptable level to get to kind of fulfill the immediate needs, not kind of more than a stopgap, but knowing you're not going to go from 0 to 60. You're not going to go from having nothing to industry benchmark overnight. That's, you know, unless you threw all the company resources at that, that's probably not realistic. So what does that maturity model look like? Mm-hmm. I think the other piece too is, you know, with bringing in consultants, you know, not just to kind of affirm or assess or things like that, really there's an opportunity, and I think you touched on it a little bit, as kind of that fresh set of eyes to identify any blind spots that are in there. So there might be things that these functions and these capabilities and these teams are doing incredibly well, and they're incredibly popular, and they're gaining momentum, and everybody knows who they are and how to engage them. But there might be little things in terms of, hey, we're missing how to appropriately escalate this up, or we stumble when we need to connect to another kind of response function within the organization, or we have competing response functions for different areas of expertise. How do we kind of engage and blend those? What don't we know from our partners? You know, people are a little bit more forthcoming with kind of an independent person than they are with sharing that directly with the team in some cases. And so it's nice to be able to address blind spots, address those gaps, opportunities like you talked about, but also reinforce, here's what you're doing well. Here's what people are really excited mm-hmm. about as well. Like,
because I think most companies just like, I always am wired to, I mean, this is how I was trained, is all that stuff I do well is fine. But like, can we talk about the things that we're not doing well?
Want to fix the problem.
But we need to understand both, right?
Right.
You need to understand that like these 25 things that you're doing today, these are awesome. Keep doing these things. But here are areas where you're not so good, and here's areas where they're bad or they're non-existent. And how do we kind of continue to push those things forward, I think really matters.
Brian, what would you say when organizations are thinking about bringing a consultant in, what are the top like 2, 3, 4 things that they should be kind of thinking about or considering as they're exploring kind of bringing in somebody from the outside? Is there anything, you know, key things?
Well, I think there's a couple things to consider. I do think that, and I think most senior executives get this because they've been down the consulting road before, but I do believe that, you know, one of the advantages of bringing somebody in to look at a problem or an area of opportunity for you is, particularly when you get into more niche consulting, like the work that we do here at BrightPath, there are very few situations that you're going to throw at us, even if you're calling us in the middle of a critical moment, that we haven't already seen, that we haven't already dealt with, and dealt with that numerous times. And I don't want to be, you know, in the particular field we're in, that can sound a little callous sometimes.
Right.
But we've led personally through active shooter situations. We've dealt with numerous fatalities with our clients. And there's a lot of things that are really rare in people's experiences, but we do this work all the time.
Well, even just awareness to incidents that are occurring that we're not even a part of. Just
right.
Kind of
totally
industry knowledge within the niche space. That's what we're supposed to be looking at. You know, that's part of our DNA of what we're doing is to look at that stuff. So even if it's not direct,
agreed,
there's at least probably an indirect connectivity that we have.
Right. But I think beyond that, you know, when you're considering who to bring in, I think there's a number of questions to consider. And you know, we have a blog post about 8 things to consider when choosing a business continuity consultant. We'll link in the show notes so you can read the full article. But I think, you know, you want to look at the organizational capability of the company of the consulting firm that you're looking at. I think you want to look at their previous experience. I think if anything you're doing is regulated, I think you want to make sure you have a consultant that has experience in the industry and regulations in question. Like we have a certain amount of depth in healthcare and in energy, both of which in financial services, all of which are regulated here in the United States. That if you don't have experience in those areas, then they're going to have to play catch up to understand kind of what those requirements are that are in place for them to dig through. I think those are important things to consider, a couple important things to consider. And I think the capability thing, I think an honest consulting firm is going to be upfront about this when talking about their capabilities and whether or not they can handle the work. And I think it's fair if you're dealing with a smaller niche organization like ours and you're a Fortune 10 organization, you should ask about, can we handle the work, the scope and scale of what's there? I know we were approached by a company this year. One of the Fortune 10 was on my mind. It was a member of the Fortune 10. And it was a little bit, it was certainly an area that we had knowledge in, but it was something they needed to move really quickly on. It was something that had international attention. It was something that had happened. And they wanted to go back and look at all of the circumstances around what happened and give them quickly to their board. Here's what went well. Here's what didn't go well. Here's areas of opportunity. And I listened. I mean, they called us, which I was flattered by. It was somebody there that I knew and had a many year long relationship with. And I heard them out. And my answer was, look, we could do this work. But I think you're better suited going to who I think are the industry leaders for this particular niche that have the capabilities and the stature to deal with what you're dealing with. And I made 2 recommendations to him, and they ultimately went with one of those. And it was a better fit for them. I would have loved the work, right? It was interesting. It was going to pay well. It was high profile. It would have been great for us. We were not the best fit for that. And so I think you want a consultant that's going to be honest with you about their ability to manage the work.
Yeah. And you should expect that too, because if back to the kind of the original premise that we started with, if you're looking for somebody to walk in and credibly say to your leadership and your board that this is the right approach that you want to take, or you're on the right track, here's some recommendations to improve that. If there's anything suspect about that firm or their ability to complete the work, you're better off probably making the case yourself. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be held accountable to it. And I think to that point, hearing out those consultants, especially, you know, we tend to do it quite a bit to refer to where the expertise lies in some cases, hear those consultants out, because they're kind of affirming to you where you should go. And also increases hopefully their credibility with you too for, you know, other issues that fit well for them that, you know, they've kind of helped make that case too.
No, I think those are all great points. Certainly, you know, do your due diligence into a potential consultant to understand pros and cons. And
'cause bigger is not always better.
Bigger is not always better.
Not that they don't do good work, but bigger's not, you know, it's just not always better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you want to look around. There's a certain cachet involved in, you know, I think hiring Deloitte or EY or PwC or McKinsey or Bain or Boston Consulting around something. I'm not convinced in areas that they do better work than we do, for example, but if you need 25 people thrown at something, that's not going to be us. You're going to want to go to one of them to pull that off. But not many people are calling us looking to throw 25 people,
right,
you know, at a problem either. But I think these are all good things to think about when looking to hire a consultant. When you're evaluating like who to go with, I really think the harder decision, to go back to my original story, is when to bring someone in. Like, when do you need that kind of help? I think we mentioned we get a lot of assessment work as kind of our initial points of helping somebody through something. And that usually leads to some work to implement those recommendations. But if you really want a self-sustaining process, you've got to build side by side with this capability within the business to run those capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Capability to run capabilities.
Capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
It's our favorite word.
You know, Eric, we didn't touch on, we've talked about assessments and kind of getting things started, but I think another reason we get brought into situations is a company is in the critical moment.
Mm-hmm.
They've had something happen. This just happened last week. We had, fortunately, a client that we had an existing relationship with, so we understood the organization, called and said, hey, we have had a traffic fatality with our business. It wasn't one of their individuals, but one of their drivers had hit and killed someone in a traffic accident. There was no fault. It was a traffic accident.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a number of factors around that where they needed help, and we were able to kind of work through that with them. I think that doesn't happen all that often. Maybe it's 10% of what we deal with in the course of a year. But companies that haven't thought through that, haven't thought about how do we react in the critical moment, how do we, what do we say, who do we say it to, how do we manage the human resources aspects of that, we get a number of calls in the door around that.
One, and that engagement might vary on, you know, level of maturity, you know, but I think there still is value in bringing somebody from the outside in, because one, if you're kind of a smaller kind of capability within the organization, you know, bringing somebody like us in surges that ability to support and kind of coordinate and help facilitate or help you facilitate kind of what's going on. If you're a bigger organization, that may also be true. It may provide guidance, may provide a different perspective on kind of the approach that the organization is taking, what we've seen work well, what hasn't worked well, things like that. I think the other piece too that is often a little bit overlooked, and I think we've talked about this in past podcasts a little bit too, is, you know, thinking about that situation and kind of the nature of, you know, this client's business with the traffic accident and the driver, that's, you know, that's kind of central. There's an emotional impact that takes place. There's an emotional kind of response, a human response to kind of what's going on. I want to say everybody's, you know, sitting around the office, you know, crying and not doing anything, or, you know, breaking things or whatever the case is. But there are certain instances, especially ones that are kind of deeply kind of ingrained in your operations or the core of your business, when something happens, not everybody's thinking straight. And that's real, that's human, that's a real thing that happens. And so to be able to bring in a consultant to help kind of facilitate through that doesn't necessarily have kind of the emotional attachment,
mm-hmm.
the lack of a better word, and not to sound callous again, but like the human kind of known factor between kind of what's going on, helps kind of steer, guide that process through, while kind of the company and the people are personally dealing with it and trying to move the operation forward.
Mm-hmm.
That consultant can really be beneficial to just helping guide that.
And I see that happening in two ways. I mean, one is what you described. It's you're coming in and you're looking at a problem or a reorganization or whatever the kind of underlying question is, and you have no emotional, as a consultant, you have no emotional or political attachment to what this is. So I think you're able to provide more direct feedback about what's going on. I know I certainly have felt unleashed on my opinions as a consultant, whereas when I was in-house at a company for 21 years, I brought all of the restrictions and political thoughts and crap that went through my head, and now I don't have as much of that. I can really look at the problem and give my best advice based on my experience. But I also think the emotional piece comes in a second way, and that is when you're in the critical moment, you're not emotionally attached to what's going on. And I'm not saying you're not impacted, because we're all impacted when other individuals, whether we know them or not, are hurt or killed or have had some tragedy that they've had to experience. But we've dealt with this before, so we come in with a different mindset, I think, about working through this.
We're not in the basement.
We're not in the basement, as the Harvard MPLI folks say. We're really helping the company kind of work through this. I know there was a fatality we helped a business with almost a year and a half ago now. That was one of those 7 a.m. I'm walking in the door to the office phone calls from a former colleague, and they had an industrial accident that had taken the life of one of their employees. And I have known him for 2 decades. He's eminently capable of managing the situation. He didn't need us for that. So I need you to get on my crisis calls with the execs, and I need you to help them understand how to manage this, because they're just hearing this from me, and everybody else is a little bit of a hot mess. And that was like 7 in the morning. By noon, they were cool. They didn't need us anymore. Like, they got through the, but they weren't thinking through the situation. They were just reacting.
Well, and sometimes it's, you almost need that other voice in the room so that you can play good cop, you can play bad cop,
you can
play independent voice. So you're not, that crisis leader isn't the one on the hook for any fallout from, hey, I got to say something that might be pretty callous and get the response, and then kind of be discredited from any of the other kind of incidents going forward or in that role or things like that. Bringing in a consultant sometimes kind of helps. We can be the ones to say it.
Yeah.
And
we'll take the hit.
We'll take the hit.
That's okay.
That's,
I think too, and this, I think this is along the same lines as what you just described. Sometimes they know what the right thing is to do. Actually, I would say often they know what the right thing is to do. They need the reassurance that what the thing that they want to do is the right thing to do.
It's hard to get there.
I remember on that particular call with the situation we're just talking about with the industrial accident, I think everybody knew that the right thing to do was to close the place down. Close down, though. It was a warehouse, industrial warehouse. Close the thing down. Because for one, the loading dock was a scene that was being managed by law enforcement and, you know, the medical examiner and OSHA and all of that kind of thing. But, you know, I think getting folks together and kind of debriefing them and giving them a chance to talk, and then sending them home for the day, paying them for the shift, but send them home, come back tomorrow, have counselors on site, do the normal kind of the right response.
Right.
But I think they all knew that. But they needed the reinforcement to say,
that is the
what do you want to do about the workers that are there today? Do we all agree the right thing to do is to send them home? Like, pay them for the time? I'm not sure what your policies are, but let's pretend we can do what we want. Can we send them home for the day and pay them for the shift? And if they want to hang out in the lounge and grieve and talk to each other, I would accommodate that.
Yeah.
But I think, do we all think that's the right thing to do? And they were all like, yeah, we just weren't sure. I think the right thing to do is let folks go home.
Right.
Let them hang out. If they want to hang out for a while, which some of them did, I'm sure. Cool. If that's what they want. But I would let them go home.
Yep.
And let's deal with the, you know, let's manage. We got stuff to do here at the warehouse. And tomorrow we can reopen and they can have a chance to, you know, do some group debriefing with a professional, or meet one-on-one with someone and take advantage of their benefits under their EAP plan. And let's move forward.
It buys you, sound this, I don't want to make this inconsiderate, but it gives you that time as leaders, as response functions, to kind of collect your own thoughts, get yourself a little bit squared away, making sure that the next steps you're doing for the team are the right steps to do as well. To your point, you know, the next day bringing in counselors, you know, kind of going to that next step and making sure that, hey, have we done everything that we can possibly do for them coming in the door tomorrow? You know, what is our expectation of them tomorrow? That's a whole nother set of questions that you have to be able to get to, that you're not going to get to if you still have people working, you know, and doing those kind of things. So not to go down the rabbit hole on that, but that's really the value that kind of bringing in a third party or having a third party, you know, kind of readily available for your organization allows you to affirm what it is that you think is the right thing to do, gives you that support in order to make sure that your response is on par mm-hmm. with what's going on, is aligned with what it is that you want as values or objectives within your organization. There's just a lot of different things and a lot of different benefits that can come about when you bring in a consultant.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of expertise. I think in to kind of summarize, the time to do this is when you have a problem to solve, or you're in the critical moment and you need someone or an organization that can help you get through the situation, because you need assistance, because you need expert assistance from folks that have done this before, and have likely experienced close to the very circumstances that you're confronted with.
And if you haven't had that thought or that conversation internally, having it right now isn't the worst thing
mm-hmm.
either, to say, hey, is this a step we're going to take? Should we get into a situation like this? One of the levers we can pull as an organization and that we've decided to pull is we're bringing a consultant in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether you line up that consultant in advance or have conversations or whatever, just even having that conversation of, hey, this is a lever we have the option to pull. And is it something we're going to make the decision pull right away or in the moment? But
that's it for this edition of the Managing Uncertainty podcast. We'll be back next week with another episode. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Managing Uncertainty, produced by the experts at BrightPath. To receive notifications of new episodes, join our newsletter at brightpath.com or subscribe through your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about the services and trusted advice from BrightPath by visiting brightpath.com. That's BrightPath.com.